Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork. I'm the host. And what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to another This Week in Silverlight, recorded April 23rd, 2010. Let's get right to it. Well, first of all, I'd like to welcome Brian Henderson, Kelly White. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good evening.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Brian.
All right. So we will jump right into the news from this past week. And in fact, since we didn't record last week, we actually have 2 weeks worth of news. And I'll bring up my items first. So I wanted to mention that Karina came and gave the Portland Silverlight user group just an outstanding talk. Karina Black, giving an outstanding talk on design and user experience. We were supposed to record it for Brian, who couldn't make it down from Seattle, but we didn't get to record it. So, Brian, I'm sorry to say it was both awesome and not recorded.
Cool, it's awesome, but I'm disappointed.
Yeah, so, but the good news is she does have blog posts that she's putting up, and I got to tell you, that design stuff, when you watch somebody who knows what they're doing in Blend, and she was, you know, showing, oh, well, here's how you can use a path list box, and I, you know, just kind of blowing my mind a little bit, so.
No, I love Karina, because she just makes it sound very easy, and just connects things together very good, so very helpful.
Yeah, it was absolutely great, and to see that stuff up on the web is really nice. Also, my next thing is that Sean Wildermuth, of course, I'm a big fan of his, and one series of his that we haven't given a shout-out yet is the Silverlight 4 MVVM and RIA Services series. So if you're into best practices and connecting databases to your Silverlight client applications, this is the patterns of practices. This is the way to do it if you're going to be using RIA services. And I, of course, highly recommend it. Now, we're taking the opportunity. He updated his samples. I think he has a four-part series, and this was his opportunity to update it for the newly released Silverlight tools. So that's up there and available and recommended for anybody interested in practices. We also have, so there's a Channel 9 interview that I thought was interesting. David Kelly was interviewed by Pete Brown, and they're talking about user experience inside of the Microsoft Store and how you can use some, sort of contextual information for displaying information like prices and comparisons and some stuff. And it's kind of high-level things, but you know, those are two interesting people, and I recommend giving a listen there, so... Those are my things. What do we got, Kelly?
So the biggest thing that I want to talk about is something that breaks my heart, and that's that Brad Abrams, after today, is no longer a part of Microsoft. He's drawing a salary check. So
that is really too bad. He's one of the nicest guys up there. Actually, it's probably between like him and like maybe John Galloway. I don't know. Super nice.
Scott Guntry, John Pop, all those guys are all great. It's funny because I always, right after a keynote at Mix or PDC, the session after always had Brad in it with some very cool end-to-end demos, and that was always the session I would go to. He just had good, solid samples of code he posted after of these very cool examples, just showing how to use the technology.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite, speakers to listen to. He's definitely going to be missed. He definitely is. He said that he's going to be taking some time off to go to Legoland with the guys, with his kids. And I was wondering if he's trying to, well, if he's not trying, if he's actually landed a job with Lego. I mean, that is my dream job. That is what I would want to do. So I don't know if that's the case, but.
Actually, very funny in a weird way. I saw a tweet today. Somebody saying there's a augmented reality application that Lego's bringing out for blocks. I didn't actually have a chance to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brad was behind it in some way or connected, but that's probably just a rumor. Sorry.
Yeah. The next thing I want to talk about is that WCF data services for Silverlight 4, that's different than RIA services. The data service is now available for download. You guys saw that?
I didn't.
So I didn't either. I mean, quite frankly, part of the problem with the WCF data services is figuring out the versioning with that stuff, and that is just a nightmare. I have the inside story that one of the members of the team is writing a book on that stuff, and he was having trouble figuring out what the versions were and when they're released and stuff. Just horrible roadmap. But I'm glad to hear it's out. Don't get me wrong.
So, Kelly, this is compatible with the RTM of Visual Studio 2010 then?
I believe so. It's got to be. I mean, it just came out the 20th. That was 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they do talk about, you know, this is a counterpart to ADO.NET Data Services for Silverlight 3 update CTP version 3. And so I'm starting to get lost in the version numbers again. I wish they would, you know, release it and say, here it is, and be a little more clear about that. And hopefully they're listening and they do. But we'll see.
Sounds good.
The last thing I did want to talk about was that Scott Guthrie had blogged that the Channel 9 team has updated their Silverlight 4 training kit. And you can go, there's a series of 8 different modules. There is video, there's hands-on lab, there's, you know, a great, great training here. You can download it for offline viewing and consumption, or you can consume it there on the Channel 9 site. But it's a great resource, especially for getting into line of business application development with Silverlight 4.
I totally agree. I love Scott's blog post. Just a bunch of videos and very in-depth and laid out very nicely.
And to make sure there's no confusion, John Papa recently blogged a blog entry that was very similar to what Scott had done. These two guys, they almost look the same as far as their content. You scroll down and you see that they talk about the modules in depth there. This is the same training, just so there's no confusion there.
Great. So my stuff this week, Mike Snow used to be doing on the MSDN blog site. He started these Silverlight tips of the day, and I think they went up to about 30 or 40 he had up there. And this was a couple of years ago, I think about, well, in Silverlight time, of course.
right.
He stopped, I think it was through late 2007 through 2008, and he stopped about in January of this year. But he started a new blog post this week, Silverlight tip of the day. So he's got up there starting 3 days this week. He's got 3 tips up there. So static resources with class libraries, just how to attach to a Silverlight process for debugging purposes, and then how to work with right mouse clicks in Silverlight. So that's his 3 tips of the day. I will have the link for his new blog site, silverlightdev.net, and then his old tips as well, because a lot of those are still relevant.
Cool.
Also this week, from, I guess it was Dev Connections, Don Papa did a great demo online or at the conference itself of showing just end-to-end WCF RIA services. And from that, he actually created a hands-on lab. And it's about 12 steps, like step-by-step, how to build an application in RIA services. So this, it's about 30 minutes of video. Complete application with source code, everything, like where you start, creating your identities, domain services, doing your bindings, all the way up through the UI layer. So very useful step-by-step. The last thing, I'm going to get the name wrong here. Gorgetti Alessandro, but he's got a very nice Silverlight MVVM, so model view model, using inversion of control, a part one, part two, and with Silverlight, of course. And just nice diagrams, details, just how to set it up, how to create the view model, and then just going into doing the binding and just how to set it up so you have some, you know, is your object busy, dirty, doing the delegates, doing the injection, service, a little bit of service locator stuff in there as well. So just a nice little, not too in-depth, but just nice, clean to the point.
All right. So in terms of public service announcements, we have a couple of different things coming up, and I'll mention two real quick and then let Brian handle the third. The first one is that the Portland Code Camp is coming May 22nd. We've been pushing that for a while. There's already lots of good Silverlight sessions. None of them mine, I'm afraid. I have not yet to sign up, but I will. And that's we'll have the link up there. May 8th is a Remix Atlanta, and we'll have the link up there for that as well. And of course, that's going to be some good content. Brian?
Yes. Also, if you're in Redmond local, I guess, either fly in or you're here locally, Carl Schiffer is doing his WPF for line of business training tour, starting off with Redmond, but I believe he's doing like six or seven different cities, and that's on his blog as well. We'll post that up there. But WPF for line of business is Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday he's doing Windows 7 and .NET 4, and then on the Saturday doing a pair programming. So it's pair programming with WPF and Silverlight stuff as well. And I actually was talking to Carl today, and there will be some stuff coming from him probably in the next week, his power tools and a few cool things. So he's got some neat projects. So just pay attention to his blog.
Great.
I won't spoil his stuff. So
nice. That's being a gentleman about it. All right. On to rumors. So Kelly, you had a tidbit from Charlie Kandel.
So Charlie did an interview with this guy, Steve Ellis. And we saw that around today or this week. Smarty P tweeted it out. And one of the things that was interesting to note is on the last paragraph of this interview, it mentions that developers will have to sit tight for another few weeks before finding out when they can get their hands on a shiny new device for development purposes. So that gives us the impression that, and there seems to be a lot of buzz about this, that we're going to see devices here in the next, let's maybe not the next week, but the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, or we may find out when we'll see the devices in the next 2 weeks.
That's probably more realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hopeful for you, man. Don't get me wrong, but.
Well, you have to remember, Kelly, when Windows Visual Studio RTM'd, they said the Windows Phone CTP wouldn't be updated for 3 or 4 weeks. So I'm expecting, you know, TechEd is June, so you know, between now and end of May, I expect a drop for CTP and then some more news with that.
They did. They also said that we would see an April update for the phone tools.
That's right, and they also
that was right after Mix, right? So
right, and at Mix, they said the market play store to have more information on that as well. So I think those things will probably be lining up close together.
We have another week, I guess.
Yeah, we're getting close to some more news at least, and maybe on the good end, some new phones. I just saw Pete Brown give a talk out in D.C. on Windows Phone 7, and, you know, he had no physical device. They seem to be holding those things really, really close, for whatever that's worth.
I just don't think there's that many out there because they're sort of custom-built at this time.
Yep.
So until they gear up for production, it's going to be a little while.
All right. And Kelly, you also had an observation about Silverlight jobs in the Portland area.
Yeah, it's they seem really to be on the rise. I'm having more recruiters contact me. I see on Twitter that John Stockton is having people contact him. You know, there's just a lot more people that, and John's not the only one, but there's a lot more people out there that are being contacted for Silverlight work. And that's really interesting. It's an interesting observation.
It is awesome. I think it's because the Silverlight 4 is RTM, so now it's out there. Businesses are starting to want to do stuff with 4, and I think it's going to be a good time for the next couple months here, the summer.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, so I wanted to bring up one thing, and this is kind of a rumor sort of thing. The multitasking support inside of Windows Phone 7. Just wanted to compare contrast that a little bit. So you guys know on Windows Phone 7, basically there's no third-party multitasking with some exceptions for things like if you have an audio stream, you can have that audio stream play for the user, but it's all run by the Windows Phone 7 service code. So basically no third-party multitasking.
Right.
The Apple iPhone, you know, they came out with all these announcements. It was really kind of hard to tell at the announcement for iPhone OS 4, whether they were going to have some real backgrounding or not. And it actually sounds like they have some real backgrounding. So one of the things they're going to do is have like a continuation or a completion. So if somebody quits the app can say, hey, I'm uploading these images. Go ahead and give me another 10 minutes. And then they're literally on a timer and they can run for the next 10 minutes. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of an interesting way of looking at multitasking. And I kind of hope the Windows world takes a look at that, quite frankly.
It's kind of like shared tasking, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of like we want you to be able to do multitasking, but we're not wanting you to be able to do it forever and without restrictions. And, I mean, it kind of seems like it might work well. So, Kelly, you have an Android phone, right?
I do.
And so that has backgrounding. First of all, do you use it much, just out of curiosity?
I don't like to use it because I bought it because I was mad that they came out with Windows 6.5 at PDC last year. I was rebelling. Yeah, I'm the wrong person to talk to. I mean, the backgrounding there is kind of cool. Yeah, whatever. I don't really use it that much, right?
All right, fair enough. Okay, guys, one last thing into rumors. So that whole Windows Phone 7 running on the Zune thing, Justin Angel, he fooled us. Wasn't real.
Yeah.
We'll admit it. We got fooled. We probably should have known. I didn't know. Did you guys know? Was that one of those things where, like, I didn't know, but you guys did?
Well, just to be clear, I didn't say anything. I didn't agree nor disagree during that session. I listened to it again. So I'm in the clear.
Nice. It was a rumor. It wasn't fact. It wasn't news. It was just a rumor.
Well, you know, it sort of interestingly tied into one of our shows at the very beginning where we were talking about how some of the Windows Phone 7 DLLs were showing up on the Zune, right? So, So I was thinking, oh, it just seemed plausible. Anyway, application of the week. Let's go through these pretty quickly. Let's actually have those two applications of the week. And Kelly, can you introduce the first one?
So first one is Audio Orchard. Got a lot of news this week in Twitter. It looks like, what is it? I mean, it looks kind of like what the...
It's kind of a mixer, a music, or a music mixer, I guess you would call it. You have recordings, you can drop them in and reorder them, repeat them. So okay, kind of like cool. A beatbox mixer, I guess you would call it.
One of the icons looks like it's the Napster icon, but without the face. And so I wasn't sure exactly what this is or where it came from. But so it's like what the guys at Archetype showed off at Mix for their workshop. Is that right, Brian?
Sort of, yeah. But just it's a different application, but similar concept.
You okay. Guys aren't exactly giving it a ringing endorsement here.
No, it's a very interesting play with because they have pre-recorded stuff. So you just want to just listen to beats, you can do that. If you want to create them, you can do that. Or you can just take some stuff and edit it as well. So it gives that flexibility.
Cool, cool. And we'll have the link up there, too. So, Brian, you want to talk about a bit about the eBay app?
Yeah, the eBay app that was announced at Mix and demoed on stage as part, I think, the second day, day two keynote it was. Demoed, so they actually put up a Visual Studio signed by Scott Guntry and auctioned it off on eBay. But we got two links for you. One is the link to the eBay application. And it's still beta, but the code is available. And this was created by Synergy Systems, I believe, out of LA or San Diego, but very interesting. Also have a link to John Popo, and he kind of just breaks it down, some screenshots. One cool thing about this is the installation, I guess you call it feature set. It doesn't have like the Silverlight, click here, install Silverlight. It's like, here's the application, install eBay. Hmm. So it's not install Silverlight. It's just a very fine experience. Got a picture of the screenshot. Here's some features. Install eBay. So cool.
it's the first that I know of, the first, you know, out of browser application that I'm thinking is going to have wide deployment. So I'm pretty excited about it.
And it really takes a lot of key features in Silverlight 4 because it's using some of the path animations. It's doing camera catches, capturing barcodes so it can look up a product. Mm. It hits across a lot of the feature sets in Silverlight 4 very nicely.
Nice.
And it's just a very simple, it looks very simple application, but it's actually a lot going on behind the scenes.
All right, folks. Well, thank you for recording another This Week in Silverlight. I think we've got a lot of good information in there.
Well, thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. This is a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.